a warm welcome to anyone tuning in today. We pray that God's most precious word may bless you. Today's text is taken from the book of Acts. If you're new to the faith, if you're a new Christian, the book of Acts is in the New Testament. It's after the Gospel of John. Our text for today will be taken from Acts 20, verse 35. That will be our main focus for today's text. That's Acts 20, verse 35. Let us read that. Acts 20, 35. I have showed you all things, says the Apostle Paul, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so, before we look at a bit more detail into our sermon's text for today, I'd just like to give a very brief introduction. It is obvious when we read the book of Acts, and when we read the New Testament, that the Apostle Paul was sold out for the Lord. He was absolutely dedicated, wasn't he, for the gospel of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. He worked, as we've read today in Acts 20, he worked tirelessly, day and night, ministering to the saints, and also labored with his hands for the gospel of Christ. And he was dedicated. Here was a changed man, a transformed man. Something different had happened in his life. Here was a once persecutor of God's people. He once went about persecuting those who followed the Lord Jesus, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, here is a changed man, one of heaven's favorites, one of Christ's chief preachers. Before, of course, he was an ardent man of the law. He justified himself by the law, didn't he? By the law of Moses. And, you know, if you're listening to the sermon today, perhaps you were brought up as a Roman Catholic, or perhaps you've been brought up in the Church of England, or perhaps you are part of another religion, like Islam, or Hinduism, or Buddhism, or another religion that is a religion of works, a bit like the Apostle Paul, or Judaism, perhaps. A bit like the Apostle Paul. You see, the Apostle Paul lived a very devout life before he was a Christian. He was brought up, under the feet of a man called Gamaliel. He was a doctor of the law. He was renowned throughout the whole of Jerusalem. And he was brought up, the Apostle Paul, from a young age, learning of the law, being brought up in the strictest possible religion possible, brought up as a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, a long line of strict religious living. And perhaps there's someone that's all this, a few people that are tuning in today, and you've been brought up in perhaps a strict religion, perhaps a work-based religion, like Roman Catholicism, that parades as Christianity, but deep down, I know it hurts, dear friends, if you've been brought up in that way, but deep down you know in your hearts, really, that it is wrong. Because it is evident that the just shall live by faith. We cannot, by our good works, build a ladder up to heaven. We cannot, our good deeds cannot outdo our bad deeds, as it were, as some religions teach that you've got an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other shoulder. And your good deeds may outweigh your bad deeds. And so, the same was true of the Apostle Paul. Just trying to observe the law, live by the law, live a devout life, obeying the traditions, obeying, being justified by the law of Moses. And perhaps, like I said, there's someone that's tuning in today and you've been brought up. It's not your fault if you've been brought up in Roman Catholicism. But dear friends, I pray that you will own that there is the true gospel. There is a true way to get right with God. And it's not through the sacraments. It's not through praying so many times a day to the east or to that. It is as it says in Ephesians 2, for by grace ye are saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a free gift of God, lest man should boast. It is by grace ye are saved. You see, the Apostle Paul here had to undergo a great transformation in his life. And we see in this passage a changed man. Now, the Apostle Paul himself confesses in verse 24 of today's passage of scripture in chapter 20 of Acts. He confesses in the second part, he says in verse 24, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace of God. And so the Apostle Paul says, which I have received of the Lord. You know, in order for us to receive something, there has to be a giver, doesn't there? There has to be a giver. And of course, our Maker, our giver, he gave the Apostle Paul salvation on that Damascus road. He opened up his eyes, the scales fell, as it were. Paul, for a long time, pricked against the kicks of the pricks of conscience, and tried to get right with God by living a life, a devout life, as it were, a zealous life, no doubt, trying to appease God by living a life of works. But he was kicking against the pricks of conscience, and he confesses here that it is the Lord that put him into the ministry. It's the Lord that gave to him the grace of God. Now in today's text, in Acts 20:35, the Apostle Paul presents to the elders of Ephesus and to us, I believe, two vital lessons for us to think about today. Let us just remind ourselves of that verse in Acts 20, verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let me just say that once more. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, the two vital lessons which I want to bring home for us today from this text is this. Firstly, never, ever forget the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never, ever forget the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. In our culture today, we can become so forgetful, can't we? We can go in one ear and straight out the other ear. So our first point, never forget the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Maker. Secondly, our second point, we are to live by the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not enough to have an intellectual assent to God's word, to know. We've got to live by them. We've got to apply them. We've got to seek and to live by them, by his grace. And although in particular, the Apostle Paul in this passage is making an emphasis upon laboring to support the weak, there is an emphasis in this verse upon laboring to support the weak, that is, the ill, the poor, the helpless. He's making an emphasis upon that, to support the weak, those who have no helper. I believe this text also can be applied in a more general sense. And so to begin with, let's look at that text. The Apostle Paul says in verse 35, I have showed you all things. I have showed you all things. And now, of course, he's saying this by grace I have showed you all things. What the Lord God has done in my life, on that Damascus road, he's changed me. I have showed you all things. The duty in life, how to live your life. I have showed you all things. I have set a copy for you in your life. I have set an example for you in your life, to live by in your life. And of course, this was needful to who he was addressing. Who was he addressing? He was addressing the elders at Ephesus and those who had embraced the Christian faith in Ephesus, who were rich and had a great deal of money and made a good appearance of it. Ephesus was a prosperous city, and lots of people who came to saving faith in the Lord, they were well off, and they did well for themselves, and a lot of them were rich. And so the Apostle Paul here is beseeching the elders at Ephesus of this truth. And so he rightly reminds them of Christ's words, the words that we have here today in our text, in the second part of verse 35. Let's see that. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And he is reminding the elders at Ephesus and us here today, he is reminding us of Christ's words in Matthew 10 verses 8, which reads as follows, "Freely ye have received, freely give. Freely ye have received, freely give." You see, the Apostle Paul, who was once Saul, a persecutor of God's people, who outwardly lived a zealous, devout life in religion, but yet he did not truly know God, he freely got of God's salvation. He freely received of God that new birth by believing in the Lord God. That transformation took place. He freely received of God, not by works. It was by grace. The Lord God has saved the Apostle Paul, and that changed him. And that changed his outlook in life. And because he received of God salvation, full and free, that free gift of salvation, that free gift of knowing God savingly, the home in heaven, God's guide here upon earth, he freely gave of himself utterly in the gospel of grace. That his whole life was dedicated to the gospel of grace because he had freely got from God, because he freely had received from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul gave of himself utterly because he had first received of God by grace. And so the inevitable question arises, do you know of the grace of God in your life? Do you know of the grace of God in your life? Have you received of God that free gift of salvation? You don't have to work to earn your way to God. The Bible teaches that by our own righteousness is as filthy rags. Even when we think we're doing right, we do it because we want to be applauded for it. Dear friends, have you received the free gift of salvation through grace in the Lord Jesus Christ? He who was rich became poor for us, that through his riches, through his poverty, we might be made rich. Have you received of God freely the gift of salvation that is in Jesus Christ alone? For by grace you are saved, as it says in Ephesians 2. You are saved by grace alone, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, a free gift of God, lest man should boast. And so, you know, in our prosperous Western culture today, in a generation our prosperous culture, a bit like Ephesus, in a generation has almost completely forgotten the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. I speak to elderly Christians in their 70s and 80s, and they tell me of what the UK used to be like in the 50s or in the 40s. Dear friends, tell me something. How does a nation within a generation forget the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? Tell me something. How does a nation within one generation forget of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, corresponding with a dear brother in the US of late, about the state of England, the state of the UK, there seems to be a very low view of God's word and God's law, and a high view of reason. You see, we have forgotten God's word. Even Christians have forgotten God's word. Many professing Christians have forgotten the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul is putting them into remembrance. Remembrance. He is saying, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Do not forget them. Remember them. And speaking to this dear brother recently in the USA, we're talking about the state of England and the state of the UK. It seems even within Bible-believing churches, Reformed churches, there is a low view of the law of God and a high view of reason. Lots of things that we're doing in our churches today are not born out of God's word. They're born out of reason. And what I mean by that is yes, like the Apostle Paul, a Christian can only be justified by grace. We can only be justified by grace. However, that does not nullify the law, does it? It doesn't cancel out the law of God. It doesn't make the law of God void anymore. You know, does the doctrine of grace that God gave us, does the doctrine of grace God gave us legally make void, cancel the law, the doctrine of the law? Does the doctrine of grace cancel out the law? Does it make void the law of God written by his own hands on Mount Sinai? Does it legally cancel that out? The same doctrines of grace that came from God, does it cancel out and make void the same law that came from God? And you know, in many churches today, there is that cry from the pulpit saying, as it says in Jeremiah 6:14, peace, peace, when there is no peace. There is that cry, peace, peace, the doctrines of grace, we're at liberty now. Because of the doctrines of grace, we can do what we want. And back in Jeremiah's day, he's saying that that's hurt my people slightly. That does great damage when we don't use the law. We're not using, as Paul says in this chapter, the full counsel of God's word. There's many a pulpit crying out, we're saved by grace. And yes, we are saved by grace. But we are saved by grace to then obey God's word. We are no longer justified by the law. We are justified by grace through Christ alone. But that does not mean that God's law is of no use to us anymore. Did God give the law of God, did he give it in vain? God forbid. Are we given grace that sin may abound in our lives, that we may just ignore God's word? Should we just forget God's Sabbath day? Should we just forget reverent worship? Should we just forget the law of God because grace abounds? God forbid. Well, what say the scriptures? It says in Romans 3:31, Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. That's what we do. We establish the law. Let's read that again. Romans 3:31. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. In other words, we who are saved by God's grace, who are truly born again, we establish the right use of the law. We establish the right use of the law. The law is now fixed upon the right foundation, which is Christ. The law is no longer a burdensome thing to us. It's a delight because it's fixed upon Christ. Even the Lord Jesus Christ said himself concerning the law that neither jot, dot, or tittle will be taken away from it. And so, do you remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you think upon the words of the Lord Jesus? Do you live by those words? And he's reminding the elders at Ephesus and those who had newly come to the faith. He's reminding them, do you remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? We are by grace to convince people of their sin by the law. If we didn't have the law of God, how would we know that we're a sinner? The law of God teaches us that we're sinners. The law of God teaches us that we need Jesus Christ in our life. We need a Savior. And yes, we are no longer in bondage to the law. We're no longer, we who are saved, we're no longer in our sins and in bondage to the law. Yet we delight in it by His grace. And so once again, to my first point, do you remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you remember them? Are they deep within your heart? You know, like I said, many people today are crying, the doctrines of grace and all these things, and they're wonderful things. But if that means that we discount the rest of God's word, the law, then we truly do not know God. In Romans 1 verse 1, it says concerning the Apostle Paul, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Paul was called of God. The good shepherd called his sheep. He was called, affectionately called. And of course he heard the good shepherd. And then he was separated. He was separated like the sheep. The good shepherd separates his sheep into his fold and protects them and looks after them and nourishes them and leads them into good pasture. And so was the Apostle Paul, and so is all true Christians. We're separated into the gospel of grace to live for the Lord Jesus. We're called, we're commissioned to live for the one who has bought us by his precious blood, who has redeemed us from our sins, that came from the glorious courts of heaven to die for us, to step in the place of a God that hates sin, who has to punish sin because God is holy. He has to punish sin, and the Lord Jesus Christ stepped in the way and took the punishment of our sin upon the Lamb of God, the pure, innocent, spotless Lamb of God, so that we could be made free to live for Him and receive Him into our hearts and learn to give our lives willingly for the sake of the gospel, like the Apostle Paul did. Freely ye have received the words of the Lord Jesus. Freely give words of the Savior. It is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, what you have received will affect what you give. Let me say that again. What you have received will affect what you give, won't it? What you've received of God will affect how you live your life, what you give. What was the Apostle Paul willing to give? Was he willing to, did he give the scraps of his time, of his life? No. The Apostle Paul gave his life. A life for a life. What did Abel give He gave his best. He gave the best of his field, as it were. A life for a life. Nothing less. The Apostle Paul was willing to give his life. It says in verse 24 of today's passage in Acts 20, that none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. He didn't count his life dear unto himself. Of course, we see that the elders at Ephesus wept and accompanied him to the ship later on in today's passage. They counted his life very dear. But he didn't count his life because he had the pearl of great price. He had found that pearl of great price. Salvation. He had received God in his heart and in his life. He had been engrafted upon the vine. He has truly been saved now. No outward pretense of religion. No works-based religion anymore. He had received God. He had freely received of God, and now he is dedicated to the Lord. He is enrolled in the Lord's service. And like I said at the beginning, perhaps there is one tuning in to the sermon, and you've been brought up as a Roman Catholic. You've been brought up in Islam. You've been brought up in Judaism. You've been brought up in some other religion. And you've been told you've got to do this and got to do that and you've got to do this. Dear friends, you've got to seek the only Savior of sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace. You can only be saved by grace. It's not of works, dear friends. You have to be born again. All the religions of the world are the same. They will teach you that you have to do something to get right with God. You have to do something to earn your way to heaven. All the religions of the world, whether it be Islam, so-called Christianity like Roman Catholicism and other forms like the Church of England, whether it be the sacraments or infant baptism, you've got to do something to earn your salvation. And yet, what does the Lord God, the true God, say? He says, you must be born again. You must truly seek that free gift. I alone can save you. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to be saved. He is the way to God, to be right with God, to have our sins forgiven, to have that great change and transformation in our life. He is the way, dear friends. And the Apostle Paul then could say, I don't count my life dear anymore because I know that God's got my back, as it were. I would rather be with the Lord God in heaven. He has saved me. I know whatever happens to me now, I am the Lord God's. This is exclusive. This is unlike all the other religions of the world. And perhaps you've even been brought up in a so-called evangelical church, and you attend church, and you have been for a long time, and you go to the services, and yet you are still in your sin. You are being justified by perhaps going and attending services. Perhaps it's a bit more like a social club for you. And you've been confirmed, you've been baptized as a baby, and you've undergone all these things. And yet, there's no real change has been wrought in your heart. There hasn't been a true turning in your life. And you haven't truly, like Paul, have freely received of God that new nature, the Holy Spirit within you, changing your desires, changing your principles to live for Him. Your life is not dedicated to Him, to the gospel of grace. Why was he willing? Why was the Apostle Paul willing to give and to give and to give and to keep on giving? Why? Why was he willing to be imprisoned and beaten and tortured and threatened and tempted and gossiped about and lied about and going without, going hungry and a host of other evils? Why? Why was he willing to do that? And like I said, what you receive affects what you give, because he was given. Because he was given of God that most precious of gifts, salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. No other religion can offer you that. No other person or system or material can offer you that. Only the Lord Jesus Christ, friends, can save you. You see, like I said, what you receive affects what you give. He now gives to God and to his fellow human being, his fellow man. He now gives of himself utterly. He does not want to be rewarded. He doesn't covet any man's silver or gold. He wants to give out of the Lord to the Lord out of a pure heart. What did Paul receive that all true believers in Christ do not receive? All true believers in Christ have the same God. We have the same Holy Spirit. We have the same Word of God. And so why do we get entangled so much in the things of this world? If we've been freely given of God, if we freely received of God, ought we not to freely give? Friends, we love Jesus Christ because he first loved us and gave himself for us. That is the only way anyone can truly love God, because he first loved us and gave himself for us. He gave himself a sacrifice for our sins. That perfect sacrifice. We cannot get right with God by our own works. It's evident that we're sinners. All of us are sinners. How can any sin get into heaven? It is evident that the just shall live by faith. And that faith must be by grace, by Christ alone. Jesus Christ is the only one that can open up the seal. He is the only one that can write your name in the book of life. He is the only door to heaven, the only way to have your sins forgiven, because he is the only Savior of the world. He came some 2,000 years ago, according to the prophecies, fulfilling the prophecies of Scripture perfectly, and then being innocent and pure, only doing good, he died. He died as a criminal would die. But he had no crimes of his own. But he died as a lawbreaker. He died the punishment of the most wretched of sinners, cursed on a tree. Why? Why did he die? He died because he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe in that? By grace. If you truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the resurrection, he died for your sins. He experienced that punishment of a God that has to punish sin. He is a just God, a God of justice. Sin has to be punished. And the Lord Jesus Christ took up on board the punishment of all those who would come to believe in him. Separated from his Father in heaven. Punished for us. Miraculously enduring an eternity of hell for our sins. And yet rising that third day over victory over death. Justifying the sinner. We're justified who believe in him now. We receive the same Holy Spirit that rose Christ from the dead. We believe in one God in three persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We're quickened by the Spirit. We cry to our Father in heaven as a tender, loving, holy Father. One God in three persons. It says in Psalm 41, which we read earlier, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. If you know anything about yourself, if I know anything about myself, dear friends, we are poor. We are morally bankrupt, as it were. We are dead in trespasses and sins. If you do not see yourself as poor and wretched, in need of fixing, in need of your heart fixing, how can you know God? Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord Jesus considered the poor because he came and gave his life for poor, wretched sinners like us. so that we can know his riches in grace. If you are Christ's, are you living by his words? Do you remember his words? As I mentioned in our first point, do you remember the words of God? And do you live by them? It says in 2 Corinthians 8, 9, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Think about it. The creator, the maker, behold, the maker of the universe, who spent eternity past with, outside of time, in blessed communion with God, who spent blessed communion with God, sweet fellowship with God, gave himself, stepped into time, and gave himself, and lived a life despised of men, rejected of men, to redeem us of our sin, to buy us back, to restore that broken relationship because of the fall. He did that for you, dear friends, because he loves you. Can you say with the Apostle Paul in verse 33, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel? You see, the Apostle Paul now, there's a different motivation in his life. What motivated him before was not what motivated him now. You know, in our culture, just like the Apostle Paul was addressing the Ephesians, a rich, prosperous city, in our Western culture, you know, we've forgotten the difference between a need and a want. A difference between a need and a want. We need water. We need bread. We need food. But you know, what we need more than anything, more than bread and food, because the Bible says so, for man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth forth from the mouth of God. We need, our souls need feeding. If we just live for the here and the now, we're dead. We're dead in trespasses and sins. When there is a true work of grace in your heart, you no longer aim at worldly wealth and pursuits and worldly ideals. There's a change has happened. The gospel of grace has happened. You no longer follow worldly pursuits and ideals and wealth. And Paul could say, I have coveted no man's wealth. I have even labored with my hands. I have ministered night and day these 3 years in Ephesus. I've ministered night and day with tears, warning you. He said that. But also, I have labored. He was a tent maker. Why did he labor? He didn't have to. He labored because he didn't want the gospel of Christ, the gospel of grace, to be a reproach, like many ministers reproach it nowadays, and live extravagant lives, and live lives that are not worthy of the gospel of grace, who have set their hearts and their affections on things below and not on things above. And so he teaches, he sets an example for us. That example, of course, he got from Christ. If you remember the Lord Jesus' words, and seek him by his grace to live by them, what motivates you to labor and to give will be different from what you used to. I remember when the Lord saved me, what used to motivate me in working was worldly pursuits. I want to get money because I want these things for my life. I want these materialism. I want these things. I want things which are not right for me to even talk about here. I want these things. What drives me are those things, are what the nations of the world look for. But when you become a Christian, when you're born again, when you receive God through the gospel of grace into your heart and you believe in it, what motivates you is different. There's a change. And so Paul not only labored day and night and ministered, he warned people by tears. He labored. He gave no approach. He gave no occasion for the gospel of grace to be reproached. You know, the world gives, doesn't it? The world gives in order to receive. the world gives in order to receive, doesn't it? We think about some famous people like Bill Gates. He gives lots of money, doesn't he, to vaccines and other things. But he gives in order to take again with the other hand. He gives, but with the other hand, he takes again. He takes. He wants people to think well of him. He wants the status. He wants all these things. You know, I once heard of a famous pop star called Madonna. Awful things, music and things that she did. But she then started to adopt babies in Africa. And people praised her, the media praised her. And then not long after that, she went to Africa and on a charity trip. And then at the airport, she was confronted by security because she was trying to VIP her way through customs. She thought, you know, because I'm doing all this charity, I should get the VIP treatment. I should not have to queue with all these people. It's hot. I don't want to be having to queue. And she threw a tantrum there in Africa. She threw a tantrum and started shouting at them. You see, she gave in order to receive back again for herself. And how different is this to the Apostle Paul? The Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for our wretched lives, our sinful lives. We can never pay him back, can we, for what he's given us? We believe in him, and we want to live for him by his grace. You see, a true Christian gives utterly of his time, of his substance, and his strength for gospel causes, because he has first received of God the same. And of course, how contrary is this to our world that we live in, to the worldling, to the evolutionary mind. Live for number one. You've got to do whatever you need to do to get above your fellow man. The strongest survive. How opposite is that to the gospel of grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ? It is more blessed, says the Apostle Paul, the inspired Apostle Paul, than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Perhaps the greatest problem with our Christianity in the West today, in England, in the UK, in America, across the West, is that our hearts are not in it. Our hearts are not in it. And we see that. Well, if we've truly received the Lord God by grace, we've received eternal security. We've received the Lord Jesus Christ. He has saved us from a life of vanity. He has forgiven us all of our sins. And we trust in him. If he has done that, then we ought to be absolutely dedicated to him. Our life should be centered around his words, conform to the gospel of grace. You know, many people, there's so much nominal Christianity today, many people sit on the outside, as it were, and they see the fight going on. They see brothers and sisters being persecuted, and they say, "Ooh, I don't want to get involved in the fight. I'll stand here on the outskirts. Ooh, it looks dangerous." But if you're the Lord's, you want to get in the fight, the spiritual fight. You want to stand for the Lord. You pray for grace to be used of the Lord God. You want to be spent for the Lord God. Your life is framed around him. You want to testify of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. You want to be used of God. Is that your story? I know we can all get it wrong. Christians can backslide. But are you in the fight? Is your heart in it? Do you remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you received salvation full and free at the hands of Christ? If you have, that will affect the way you live your life. You know, it's evident to see if someone is a true born-again believer. Because if you've received God into your life, If he has saved you, it will affect how you live your life. You'll be absolutely sold out, like the Apostle Paul was, for the Lord. It says in 2 Corinthians 9:6, "He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly." If there's more of the world's ideals and words in the heart than Christ, there is a problem, isn't there? If there's more of the world's words and ideals in the heart than Christ's, there is a problem. It is more blessed to give than to receive. How can you know a true Christian? How can you know a true Christian? By his fruit. You can know a true Christian by his fruit. Is that person sold out for the Lord? Do they remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do they live by them? Is there the fruits of repentance in their life? Does what they say, does their doctrine, like we talked about earlier, does it match their lifestyle? You can tell a Christian by their fruits. A corrupt tree bringeth forth corrupt fruit. I've been there before I was converted. I was a corrupt tree. The Apostle Paul, before he was converted, was a corrupt tree. But when he received the gospel of grace through Christ, he became a fruitful tree. And the very sun that's a gulf away, of course, gives that tree the fruit. And that's the same with the Lord Jesus Christ. Although he may seem like a gulf away, the light of the gospel makes us fruitful, like we see with the trees around us. Freely ye have received, freely give. Do you freely give your time to the Lord? Do you redeem the time? Your strength, the strength that God gives you. He gives us the rain, the sunshine. He gives us everything. He gives to all his creatures. The strength that God gives you, the eyes that he's given you, the time that he's given you, the homes that he's given you, the wife, the children, the husband, whatever. The eyes, the heart, the mind, the feet, everything that he's given you. He's freely given you that. Do you acknowledge him that he has given you? Receive those things of him, and then out of a thankful heart, you give, as it were. We can never repay him, of course, but we give because we have first received. And just to finish off on today's sermon, Romans 8:32 says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" The Lord Jesus Christ gave us his life. If you've got Christ, you've got it all, friends. If you've got Christ, you've got it all. Maybe I'm speaking to someone who's been a devout follower of a Christian. Islam, Roman Catholicism, Hinduism, and maybe even you've been brought up as an evangelical Christian, but not a Bible-believing Christian. Not one who's truly known the grace of God in your life. And what I'll say to you is, if you've got Christ, you've got it all. Seek him. Seek his grace in your life. Remember his words. If his words are deep within your heart, and you're born again from above, and you receive the gospel, you believe the record true that he died for sinners such as you and I to redeem us of our sins. His substitutionary death, he stepped in the way and took upon our punishment. He was punished for our sins. And like John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." If you believe in him, and you repent of your sins, and you turn from them and look to him, the only Savior of sinners, you will live. He will save you by his grace, and then you will remember his word, and then you will live by his word. And so I do pray that God's word may have blessed you today.